Good morning, and welcome to the Mental Breakdown Morning Show. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall. Monday.
It's Monday, December 19th, 2016.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. And so we are... It's Monday, and you're already working on trying to mess up the date. So, but here we are for another great week of
the Mental Breakdown weekends.
Morning Show. And we're going to, you know, it is the week leading up to Christmas, but this week we've decided to, instead of talking about the holidays and talking about Christmas and talking about, you know, all of the festivities and everything coming up, we're going to focus instead on a few developmental things that parents can be watching out and thinking about for their children.
Yes. Life goes on.
That was a great...
No, I was thinking about what you were saying. Addition. Life goes on.
Yeah.
Yes, it is Christmas. The holiday is coming. It's a religious holiday. It's a secular holiday. Most individuals are going to get caught up in it one way or the other, whether you like it or not.
Right.
Increased traffic, increased shopping, increased everything. Grocery stores are going to be full. So, yes, it's a big week coming up, but life goes on.
Right.
We still have children to raise and spouses to partners to take care of and houses to take care of. So, yes, life goes on. So we're going to talk about child development, but in a little different way this week.
Right. So this week, what we've decided is you know, there's just these numbers that work. I like the number 3. Whenever I try to give examples, I try to have 3. But
someday we have to talk about that.
3, 5. There's these numbers, but there just so happens to be, among others, I'm sure there's 5 critical ages at which children need to have developed particular skills if they're going to. In order to find success and in order to, you know, graduate sort of to the next level of development. And so each day this week, we're going to focus on a different age.
That's right. Because most developmental stages, especially with new parents, they track such things as when did my baby crawl? When did she sleep through the night? When did she walk? When did he get toilet trained? When did he, you know, there's these sort of motor, we track motor and speech and language skills.
Right.
And, you know, you put charts up on the refrigerator and you start checking off when your child achieves certain motor or language milestones. What we want to talk about this week are emotional and behavioral milestones, not just motor and language milestones. So I'm really excited about what we're going to be discussing this week.
Right. So we're going to start off today with the first big one, and that is the age of 3. Now, as you think about the first 3 years of life, the child goes through some tremendous changes. I mean, you go from the child goes from an infant that is completely dependent upon others to a 3-year-old who is pretty self-sufficient in many ways. I mean, they can get around, they can feed themselves, they can tell you what they want, what they don't want. They go through all kinds of different periods. But some of the early social emotional things that we see are, you know, that first smile, the first real smile. And we oftentimes associate that first smile with, oh, well, it's gas, it's, you know, upset stomach, it's this, it's that. But, you know, we see a first real social smile by the age of 4 weeks or so, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff that happens in that first 3 years of life. And hopefully we get through the terrible twos, we get through all of that stuff. But by the time we get to the age of 3, there's a few things that we should be moving beyond and we should be addressing.
That's right. But and so if you're tracking your child's development, and you want to know if they're achieving the appropriate emotional milestones, I think the ages where you really ought to start thinking about emotional, social, and behavioral development is age 3.
Right.
It's a nice marker.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So by this age, again, you've gone through, hopefully, a lot of those more challenging, terrible two stuff. But surprisingly, perhaps, one of the big developmental milestones for social and emotional things at the age of 3 is toilet training.
Right.
You know, there was a very famous psychoanalyst who was very interested in what happened when people, how children progressed through potty training, and that was Freud. You know, when we talk about things like, you know, those, he had his psychosexual stages right. of development. And when we think about people who are obsessive compulsive, for example, and we think of that as an anxiety disorder, which, you know, is tied to social emotional things.
Right.
When we talk about somebody who's really, you know, they're really structured, they need things to be a certain way, we refer to those people as anal, right?
Anal retentive.
And right. and Freud said that those types of behaviors, that type of obsessive compulsive, comes from that period of development when we are toilet trained.
That's right.
And so depending on how the parent helped the child and how the child thought about cleanliness and dealt with that whole process, one may enter into a world of sort of obsessive compulsive tendencies or sort of the opposite, where they are real sloppy and dirty and right. don't really mind mind messes all that much.
That's right. Doesn't bother me that my hands are dirty.
But so let's talk a little bit about toilet training by the age of three. It's...
And why it's why it is so crucial,
right?
No, and there's no prize for achieving toilet training earlier than that.
Right.
I mean, there are a few advantages, but don't panic too much about toilet training because it's usually going to occur in most children by age three.
Right.
Okay?
And when we say
with
by
girls,
age three,
it's a little sooner
right.
than boys, but
right. By the age three, what we're talking about is certainly before their fourth birthday. You know, some kids meet it by their 36th month, which is their third birthday, and some meet it a little bit after that. But we're just talking right. about within that general
That's
range.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For example, walking. Most kids walk by the age of 12 months. But we have kids who walk at 9 months and those kids who don't walk until 15 months.
That's
but
right.
that's still considered within normal. The normal range at about 12 months.
And same
age.
With toilet training.
Right.
It might be 24 months or 30 months or 36 months or 40 months, you know.
Right.
But there's no prize for early toilet training.
Right.
Okay.
And I remember we had a discussion with one of our really good friends, a pediatrician here in town one time, talking about toilet training. And he was one who, you know, he really... emphasized and really encouraged parents to try to get their kids toilet trained by the age of two or so.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked from the perspective that you could get kids to be toilet trained by that age.
Right.
Now, what we know from a neurological perspective is that there are neurons that have to make that trip. They have to continue to develop after birth from the brain down to
And they develop top down.
Right.
Okay, it's from the inside out and the top down. So you know, little babies are able to lift their heads up before they can lift their shoulders up.
Right.
You lift your shoulders up before you lift your trunk, you know.
Right.
And so it develops, it's myelination.
Right.
You know, the nerves mature from your brain down your spinal cord. And so
right.
those nerves in you know, halfway down your body, it takes a couple of years for them to develop.
Right, right. And that's why little ones use the bathroom and really don't even know that they're using the bathroom.
Right, right.
They're not aware of it
because
there's
no sensation.
It just happens, right?
Right. But I talked to a woman from China. They train their children by one.
Okay.
The Chinese toilet train their children by one. And I asked her, because she had just had a baby, and she said, no, it's just a matter of getting them used to sitting on the toilet at certain times of the day.
Right.
And eventually they make a connection.
Right.
They still don't have any sensation.
Right.
But they know that this is the place where you do this sort of business. And they do it about every three, I think she said about every 3 or 4 hours they put their child on the toilet.
Right.
So it is possible to do that, though most parents probably don't have the time or the inclination to spend that much time toilet training the child.
Absolutely. And that's where we kind of finally came to the agreement with our pediatrician friend
right.
is that it's not so much that they're understanding and they're trained by the age of one or two or anything like that. What happens is they're on a schedule.
Right.
If you watch your parent, your child, if you as a parent watch your child, you can see
there is a
rhythm.
That's right. There's a rhythm.
You know that within about 30 minutes of eating something, they're going to need to go to the bathroom. Right. So at about 25 minutes or so, you go put them in the toilet and they go to the bathroom.
Yeah, most children have a regular toileting schedule, you know,
right.
about every 2 or 3 hours or at 2 o'clock, around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, around 6 o'clock. So different, but there is a rhythm.
Right.
And if you understand that rhythm, then you can use the facilities at that time. But you're not really training the child to manage his or her own,
right.
Because they still don't have the sensation.
Okay? Absolutely.
So some parents opt to wait for sensation, mm-hmm. which is 2, 2.5, 3. Other parents want this whole process to end sooner, mm-hmm. and so they put the child on a schedule.
Yeah, and you know, and it's and just as an indication to because many of you maybe have experienced this, when you can tell when they're starting to experience it, the sensation, mm-hmm. when they start hiding or something like that.
They hide under the table.
Right.
One of our kids hid under the table.
But you know, when really little ones are placed on the toilet, and you know, they're sitting there and you come in and you say, did you finish?
Mm-hmm.
And they have to look to see if anything came out.
They don't know.
It's because they don't,
no
they can't
sensation.
Feel. They don't have that sensation there. Mm-hmm. But you might be wondering what toilet training has to do with the social-emotional development. Right. And there's two ways that it's involved. The first is really just access. You know, there's a lot of, by the age of 3, there's a lot of daycares and there's a right. lot of preschools and things like that you just simply can't go to if you're mm-hmm. not toilet trained.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to have some of those social interactions. Yeah. You're not going to have some of that if you're not toilet trained.
Right. Yeah, because most kids are trained by 3.
Right.
And so you want your children to be able to participate in the same activities as other same-aged peers. And so for that reason, it is useful, helpful, beneficial
mm-hmm.
to have your to at least shoot for that 36-month time when, yeah, we really should be finished with this by
right.
then.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, a second reason that it's related to social-emotional development is because it's starting to build. I don't know what I was... Wow.
What?
It's starting to build some of that self-awareness, some of that self-regulation right. that we're going to see in some of the next mm-hmm. Few critical periods. But, you know, kids have to be able to stop what they're doing to mm-hmm. go to the bathroom.
That's right.
A lot of times when kids have accidents, it's because they're so attuned or into whatever they're doing, whether it's a video game,
right.
which we've talked about before, or some kind of toy or something like that. But if they're so into that they can't break away for the mm-hmm. few moments that it mm-hmm. takes to go to the bathroom, all right, so we're starting to talk about some regulation issues where they just can't do the appropriate attention shifting that they need
right.
to be able to do.
This is the beginning of transitions. You know,
right.
when we talk about children have trouble with transitions, this is would be your first hint
mm-hmm.
that maybe your child is struggling a little with transitions. If they can't stop what they're doing to go to the bathroom, if they can't stop this activity to go mm-hmm. to this activity, you may want to keep an eye on that because
right.
it could be that the child just doesn't do transition. May not have a It may not be a toileting issue at
right.
all. It may just be a transition issue.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final way that it's related to social-emotional development, it really is the child... This is the beginning, again, mm-hmm. of how the child interprets their body.
Right.
So when they have the feeling, okay, that feels like I need to go to the bathroom.
That's right.
They interpret it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
As kids develop and we begin to have different emotions and different... feelings about things, we want kids to be able to interpret that appropriately. You know, one of the things that I talk to patients about a lot of times is when they're really anxious about something that's coming up. And we talk about the difference between the feeling of, in our body, the feeling of anxiety, anxiousness, and the feeling of excitement. Because in our body, they feel very similar. And so it's a matter of interpretation and being able to sense and determine when you need to use the bathroom and what's going on in your mm-hmm. body physiologically, you know, that's going to be, this is, starts very early, right around the stage.
That's right. Body awareness
right.
Really kicks in here because at about age 2.5, what the important brain concept here is that about age 2.5, there's going to be this massive explosion of new neurons.
Right.
And it's those neurons that kids are going to use to move into the next phases of development.
Mm-hmm.
And so this body awareness, this understanding of my body and its functions
right.
should be well on its way by age three. And toilet training is a key issue. It's a key part of that development. There are some other motor skills that are also developing for the same reason, because neurons and pathways are maturing. But this is a real good way to observe your child and make sure your child is on the right course for emotional development at about age three. So this is a key mile marker in children's emotional and behavioral development. And it all centers around awareness and the ability to take care of themselves, to monitor themselves rather than be monitored by an adult.
Right.
So,
yeah, so
crucial
so,
time.
Absolutely. And so when, as a parent, you don't want to overdo it.
Right.
You don't want to marginalize it. You want to make sure that you balance it appropriately so that, you know, you're encouraging your child. If you want to do the schedule system, watch your child over a couple of days, and you'll see that there's usually a pretty decent rhythm to their body functions. Right. And so you'll know about when they need to go, and so you can begin to address it that way.
But whichever approach you use, do it patiently and do it calmly, because you can really mess a kid up if you get this wrong. So that goes back to Freud, you know.
Right.
So be careful, be patient. It's going to happen. I mean, kids go to kindergarten, they're toilet trained. Okay?
Right.
So this is going to happen. You don't have to panic. You don't have to offer candy and treats and rewards and everything.
Right.
It's going to happen anyway. Kids want to, children want to have this control.
Right.
So you don't really need to reward. You can praise them if you want, but they're going to want to do this. And so be patient, be understanding. It'll happen. You'll get through it just fine.
Just avoid too much stress,
pressure,
and pressure and force and all that kind of stuff, because it just it doesn't work out well for anyone.
Yeah. I was going to say, you don't train your children like you train your pets, but be gentle.
No rolled up newspapers.
That's right. You don't rub their noses in it.
So. That's right.
Please.
I hope not.
That's happened before. So
what would Freud say about that?
Oh, come back when you're an adult. Okay.
All right. So, well, that's it for today. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk about the age of five.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, when we're starting school. And so there's some pretty big things that
come
there.
That's a big one. Right.
So, all right. So we will see you back first thing tomorrow morning. Make sure that you get out and exercise and eat well today. And just make today the best day that you can make it.
Stay on schedule.
Yeah.
Even though it's going to be an exciting week, you got to maintain your schedule. If your children are out of school, try to maintain their, as closely as possible, their regular school schedule. Because remember, in a couple of weeks, they're going to have to get back in harness. And it's easier just to maintain a schedule now rather than to try to do it in January.
Yeah.
So,
that'll be tough.
Have a good week.
Yes, absolutely have a good week. And we will see you in the morning. Have a good day. Have a great one. Bye-bye.